Good morning, Symphony Church. Today is Friday, and as is tradition, we'll be going through a psalm today. Psalm 6 is an interesting one, partly because it begins this string of psalms that deal with these themes of grieving and repentance. Remember, psalms are songs to the Lord, and as David pens this somber piece, we get a glimpse into the act of confession. So let's turn to Psalm 6, and I'll read for us. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. So for this psalm, I think it'll be kind of helpful to have it open in front of you as we go through this devotional. But this psalm is divided into four stanzas slash sections. And each section walks us through a different aspect of the grieving and anguish and desperation that David found himself in when he wrote Psalm 6. We don't know what circumstances surrounded David at the time, but like a lot of psalms, I think there's a lot for us to gain, even if we're not mirroring the exact heart of its writers. So the psalm opens with David's plea to God to rebuke him not in his anger, nor discipline him in his wrath. At face value, David seems to be confessing a particular act of wrongdoing, and that might be the case here originally. Again, he doesn't go into specifics before God. He doesn't really have to, but as he approaches God in this posture of brokenness, and he asks God to be gracious to him in his languishing, we see that David starts with humbling himself. He humbles himself before the supreme Lord of the universe and shows that he understands the gulf between him, a sinner, and a perfect, omnipotent God. I don't think it takes this huge, egregious act of sin for us to find ourselves in David's shoes and come before God this way. In fact, there are so many times where I sat down to pray in this sort of self-assured, righteous anger kind of mindset, only to immediately realize the depths of my own iniquity. David shows us that it's only when we start from this place of vulnerability that we can really seek the Lord's help. The next section is a really simple one. David calls upon the Lord to deliver him, to save him. Whatever it was that was causing such anguish in David's heart, he knew that it was only God that would be able to help him. Even in his pleading, David ties his life to the Father's and shows through his words that his life is for the sake of praising and remembering the steadfast love of God. I think this is important. David isn't just being spoiled when he's asking God to step in. This isn't a king asking his servant to do a task for him. The opposite, actually. This is a servant asking his king to save him from despair, to use his authority so that his servant can stay by the king's side. For us, when we petition to the Lord, I pray that we can be reminded of the ultimate goal and need in our life, to dwell in the presence of the Father and live our life to glorify him. But the amazing thing is that a relationship with the Lord is so much more multifaceted than just that. In the next section in our psalm, David launches into this mini soapbox in front of God where he exclaims just how troubled he is. He sort of vents to the Father about how he's weeping and grieving because of his hardship. And unlike the last two sections, there isn't really a request that's made to the Lord. Except that between the lines, David is requesting that God listens. And how beautiful is that? What kind of king stops what he's doing just to listen to the worries of his servant? But that's exactly what God does. And David has faith that God's character is one of love and care. I think we often get caught up in asking of the Lord that we forget that He wants to do more than just fulfill requests. He designed us to have communion with Him, to have an intimate relationship with Him. Even when we don't know what to ask Him in times of trouble, we should remember that our God is a God who listens. And lastly, to conclude his psalm, David grows in confidence. He declares that his troubles have been overcome, for the Lord had heard his pleas and accepted his prayers. Perhaps his prayers were literally answered mid-song for him to go from pleading to exulting so quickly, but I think we see here that even before he tastes full deliverance, David shows how much trust he has in his God. He trusts God so much that he celebrates even when he's still in the midst of his trials. It's the same trust that led Joshua into the promised land. It's the same trust that allowed Daniel to rest easy in the lion's den. It's the same trust that Jesus calls us to have when he says, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." When we trust in a God who can overcome everything that this universe can throw at him, we're assured that we will be taken care of. We can find peace even before peace comes, because we know that he has saved us. David has a reputation for being a little bit dramatic, but I don't think the Psalm's wisdom is reserved for just the most dire situations in our lives. I think even in the small things, the small worries or troubles that pile up in our lives, we can follow David's example and go to the Father for help in vulnerability and in truth. I just want to open these next few minutes for us to practice this sort of prayer ourselves. In the order of Psalm 6, let's go to God and practice humbling, petitioning, confiding, and trusting in Him. You know, whether large or small, no problem or matter is unimportant in the Father's eyes. I don't know what's going on in your particular life. Maybe you are in a time of good fruit where you really find joy every day, and that's good. Or maybe you are in a season that's a lot harder, and there are just so many things that come to mind when you read through the psalm. But being broken and imperfect, I think regardless of what kind of season that we have in general, there always seems to be at least a few things that are kind of weighing us down in the back of our minds. There's always some things that we kind of hesitate to bring to the Father. So just for these next few minutes, let's practice going to Him and modeling our prayer like David, to just be honest with our Father. So let's go to Him in prayer. Lord, may you listen to our prayers. May you hear the cries of your servant. Lord, there are a lot of things in this world that plague us, a lot of things that weigh us down, a lot of tribulation in this world. But Lord, help us to take heart. Help us to trust that you have overcome it and that you will never be beaten. You will always be victorious. Or may we find joy in being part of your kingdom and being part of the winning team. I pray that we could continue to humble ourselves, to continue to ask that you save us, to continue to just bare our hearts in front of you. And Lord, I pray that you hear and I pray that you respond to us, Lord. I pray that you grow our relationship in you. Lord, thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.